The notion of being a mani, and now actually we're going to really read Malach Perek Aleph. And the pasuk, as I think I mentioned, begins in a very striking way. Normally we would have expected from the beginning of the sefer that it should be presented in a very powerfully triumphant kind of way, only with chatzotzros. And instead, what we have here is the Hamelach David Zokin Baba Yomim, by Asu Bab Godin Loicham, I mentioned last week, Hamelach Elyon, Hamelach Elyon concept. And even the Hamelach Elyon, the statue of David Hamelach, even the greatest person, eventually ages, and eventually, as Chazal tell us, that everyone goes to their eternal rest. Whatever the case is, we see that David Hamelach, the Sof Yomov, already is concerned about what might happen after he passes on. And of course, even intuitively, this is something that any leader has to be concerned about. And here we're talking about specifically Adoniyahu ben Haggis, who is in the process of trying to effect a revolution that would put him on top. Now, where exactly does he come into the picture? So now, if you have your Tanakh in front of you, which I hope you do, Shmuel Beis, take a look at Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel. You will see that certainly he feels he's entitled to the Malchus. There's a basis for Adoniyahu ben Haggis coming into the picture. In Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Vayeldu the David banim b'chevron. These are the children of David in Chevron, and the Navi tells us the order of the children. Vayhi b'choro Amnon, v'achinom Azraelis. So Amnon is the b'chor. U'mishneu Kilov, Kilov is the second. V'abigai Elish is Navo HaKamali. V'ashlishi Avshalom ben Macha, he's the third. V'astalmai Melech Mishur. V'arvi Adoniyahu ben Haggis. And then it goes on to list the others as well. Shvatri ben Avital, and the Pasuke Yisram, Le'egla Ishaz David. These are children that are born to David in the city of Hebron. So clearly, the Seder HaLeita would normally represent the Seder of those who are worthy of succeeding the king. So we understand very well that now when we examine the three preceding Adoniyahu ben Haggis, so who should have been the king? Amnon. And Avshalom, as you know, Avshalom Rotzach es Amnon. And now we have Kilov, that somehow, for some reason, he's not a Muhammad, he's not a candidate to be the king. The third is Avshalom. He dies, as you know, in the merit of Avshalom, and he rebels. So who's left? Adoniyahu ben Haggis. So clearly he sees himself as being someone who is in the line of succession, correct? Someone who clearly is worthy of being a Muhammad. And now with David HaMelech in his elderly years, David is a Zaken, so he assumed that he's going to take the position, he'll succeed David HaMelech. Of course, David HaMelech has a different idea in mind. Namely, David HaMelech obviously decided that the one who's going to replace him is Shlomo. And I don't know if you remember, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. I'm sure you probably don't. Now let's think about it. But it's not uncommon. Lahavdil, one of the countries in the Middle East is Jordan, not far from here. And there was a king of Jordan for many years. His name was Hussein. He was the king, I think, for approximately 40 years. However, there was someone in waiting who was essentially the one who was going to succeed him. His name was Ali Hassan, if I'm not mistaken. And then what happened was that Hussein got sick. As a result, he left the country in order to receive medical treatment. And then when he came back at the end of his life to Jordan, I think he lived for about 3 days or so, approximately. He knew that his days were numbered. He decided that somehow the one who was supposed to be his successor, Hassan, is not going to become the king of the Hashemite kingdom, but rather, who will be the king? his son Abdullah. And this he did in 2 or 3 days. It was unbelievable. Mapach. Like a massive, because this Abdallah fellow was a young fellow, very young. And this is the example of a shalit who has the ability to somehow turn things upside down in a very short period of time. And just to give you another example of what I'm referring to, the Abdul back down to Shalom HaMelech. Look at Dibrei Yamin, Aleph. Dibrei Yamin Aleph. As you know, Dibrei Yamin Aleph and Dibrei Yamin Beis, we spoke about this actually a little bit. Dibrei Yamin Beis deals with the house of David, and so I'm interested in dealing with David HaMelech, obviously, so therefore I'm going to turn here to the following parak, parak Chafal of Dibrei Yamin Aleph. It's a famous parak. This is the parak where I believe Tachanun comes from. Part of it. Parak Chafal, which tells about, and by the way, this is a parak that has a parallel to it as well, at the end of Shmuel Beis. Parak Chafdala of Shmuel Beis. Here we're talking about the discussion of the Gorin of Arnon Eivusi. That was the Gorin that was purchased by David HaMelech to serve as the Makom HaMikdash. And so we have a discussion of that function, of that purchase over here. Look in, let's just read a few psukim. In Pasuk Yud Ches, Malach Hashem Amar Al God Leimo LeDavid, Ki Avod David, Lachim Mizbeach Hashem LeGorin Arnon Eivusi, Ayal David Dvar God HaShadiva B'Shem Hashem, Ayashav Arnon Vayaras Malach Vahavaz Manav Imam Mishabim, Varnam Dash Shita, we have a Dovid at Arnon, we have it Arnon, we have his Dovid, we have a Gorin, we have a Dovid at Pai Marza, we have a Dovid at Arnon, it's only become a Gorin. Let me have this particular spot. The end of them is Be'ach Hashem, Be'kesed Moli Tzneuli. By the way, where do we see such a language? Be'kesed Moli Tzneuli. Beginning of Pashas, Chaisara, by Ephraim, thank you. And as you know very well, that the areas that we paid
That we purchased,
those are the areas that are contested. Those are the areas that are the most contested by the Arab world. Namely, I'm referring to
Shem,
I'm referring to Hebron, I'm referring to the Makom HaMikdash, our Abayis area. Those are the areas that are fully contested. We paid the Kesem Moleh, exactly the same language that's used in Chayisorah. The Seyatza Magetu Me'al Ha'am. Yomer Arnon El David Kachloch V'yas Adoni HaMelech HaTzol V'hein HaRein HaSati HaBok HaOmos V'amarigi V'aitzim V'achidu HaMin HaKon HaSati V'yomer HaMelech. He wanted to give it to him. So what did David HaMelech say? Lo, Kikano Ekne B'chesem Molech. Repeat it twice, just to underscore the fact that we're purchasing this particular piece of property. Yilo Esa Shelecha Hashem V'halos Ola Chinom V'yitin David Arnon V'bokom Shik Lezov Mishkal Sheish Meos. Even Shem Dov Mizbech Hashem Liyah Lolos Hashlamim, Vayikol Hashem Ayaneu Vayish Min Hashamayim, Al Mizbech HaOlam. So here we have the description of that purchase of the area that became the Makom HaMikdash.
Why is the area of God is different than what we say?
Why, I'm sorry? You're asking on the beginning of the Pasuk?
Okay,
and we say Nipla B'Lashem Rabim.
El Apola.
He said Epla B'Yad Hashem.
El Epol.
I'm sorry?
He says Al Epol, but we say Al Apola.
But there are two differences. We say Nipla
Nipla Nipla Nipla and the last part.
Okay, that needs attention, which is not really my issue right now, so I hope you don't mind if I will call a moratorium on that. But anyway, whatever the case is, here we have the story of the Gorin, and in this parak, which is the next parak, parak of days, and still the Be'er Yomim, there we have a clear statement of David. Vayom David, Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim, Zeh Mizbach Le'olam Yisrael. This is going to be the Makom HaMikdash. Vayom David, Lichnos Zeh Sager, Mashiach Eretz Yisrael, Vayam Nichotzim Lachzor Amin Gozis, Lichnos Beis Elokim. So now they get to work to go ahead and build the Beis Elokim, to build the Makom HaMikdash. And then, I just want to read a little bit further, because it's important. It says, V'la Mechabra Seichin David, I'm reading Pasuk Yimol, from the Choshes of Rav, Ein Mishkol, there are a lot of raw materials. Vatzei Arazim leMizbah, Ki Eviru Atzidonim Vatzorim Vatzei Arazim leRov leDavid. Vayom David Shlomo Benin Nar Barach. Shlomo at that time was a young lad. Vabayis Lidnos Hashem, and now we have a mission in front of us to build a Beis Hamikdash. VaHagdil LeMavul LeShem LeTeres Ola Arutz Zachinu Nalo. I will basically prepare the Tashtit. I'll prepare the foundation. Said David, that my son Shlomo will build a mikdash. Vayichen, vayachin David, Arav, with him also. Vayichel Shlomo, but no, he called Shlomo. Vayitzavel, knows Bayis Hashem, okay, so that was his main interest. That was really a very preeminent interest on the part of David to build his mikdash. And he called Shlomo, he prepared the foundation, called Shlomo to go ahead and more or less finish the work. I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem said to me, I can't do it. And there are several reasons why David cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. One mention here, this is the famous reason, namely, because he spilled blood, because he was involved in many wars. There's an inability for someone who is a Shavit Damim to go ahead and build a Beis HaMikdash. Why is that so? So the Ramban writes in Parshas Korach, I said before that Ramban points out in one line in Korach, he notes that the Beis HaMikdash represents the Makom where we invoke the Rachamim of Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Beisi Beis Tvila Yukari L'chol Amin. And the Beis Tvila is a place where Hashem hopefully will answer our Tvilos. We see that in Malachim Aleph, Perek Tes, that describes the investiture of the Beis HaMikdash, how anyone can come to the Mikdash, different types of individuals with different types of problems, and the like. You remember that Perek, of course, the famous Perek. And there, the Beis HaMikdash is essentially a Makom Tefillah to invoke the Rachamim of Hashem. Obviously, someone is involved in the Chama and the like, and Retzach is involved in Din. You remember the Psukim where the Torah tells the end of Parshas Yisro, that it tells you, why can you not use any metallic implement in the course of building the Beis HaMikdash? So what does Rashi say over there? Rashi points out, because Cherav is something which, of course, is the opposite of what the Beis HaMikdash is designed to bring about, Shalom, when you saw Avim Shashamayim, and Makom Avrachamim, and Chayav represents Din, represents justice, and the like, retribution, and they don't go together. That's what the Ramban writes in Korach. And the Ramban says this based on this pasuk here. Means what is Shlomo HaMelech going to be? Not a man of Din, but a man of Rachamim. So the Ramban interprets the Psukim here. V'anichos yilom v'kol eivim v'sovi, k'shlomo yeshmo v'sholom, v'shekat etzien ha'isovi, v'amahu v'nei v'ayis v'shmi, hu yeli l'beim, ani yelo l'ab, v'achidos yizkis ma'achus al yisrael ha'odam, ata b'ni yi Hashem imach, v'itzlachta b'ni yisrael b'yis Hashem al-gecha, k'ashe dibur alecha, ach yitin l'cha Hashem seichol v'bina, Hashem should give you Shlomo seichol v'bina, So here we have almost a directive on the part of David HaMelech to his son Shlomo. So it's very clear that he wants Shlomo to be the Melech, and he's skipping over the first three children, the Via Seder, the chronology of those that were born that I mentioned before in the Pasuk in Shmuel. Obviously, David decided for whatever reason that Shlomo is the one most fitting for the position. And even the end of this paragraph, if you take a look at the last few psukim, starting with Yizayim, Vayitzav David called the Tzor Yisrael, Lazor the Shlomo Beno, Halo Hashem Elokei Yimimachim, Yediach Lechem Yisovim, and therefore, he tells him he should follow the ways of Hashem, build the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc., and therefore David, beginning of Chav Gimel, the David Zokei Yimisov Hayam, Vayam Lechem Shlomo Beno Yisrael, and clearly, at that point, more or less the reign is given over to Shlomo HaMelech. Now if you remember, again, in Perek Gimel of Shmuel Beis, when we have the list, Adoniya ben Chagis sees himself as being worthy of becoming the king, because obviously in the line, he's certainly up there, but David, as I said, had a different intention. Now, again, I just have to mention, coming back now to the Malachim Aleph Perek Aleph, which is what we're doing, just to mention that, as you know very well, that we have a number of very significant factors, and in general, you probably certainly are aware that when a king, or as I said, when any leader leaves their position, the possibility for potential major disruption of the kingdom is certainly very much operative. Whenever there's any change of leadership, it really doesn't make a difference whether it's leadership at the highest of levels or even at the lowest of levels. Any kind of change is often, shall we say, let's put it this way, the moment anything new comes into the fore, it's always a potential for mochama, for divisiveness, for inter-Nasai quarrels, for inner fighting, for intrigue that's going to take place. And that we know certainly doesn't require any PhDs. Anytime there's any kind of a change, there's always going to be domino effect, and sometimes always even people who are, shall we say, not worthy can enter the picture. And we utilize all kinds of tactics and strategies in order to hopefully obtain the position. And that's exactly what the Navi describes here, what happened in terms of Adon Yoav ben Chagas. And maybe I should just back up one more second and refer to one more set of psukim in Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin. If you look there at Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin for a moment, there also you see something very significant that is really background to this parak that we're about to learn again. Here David wants to build a Beis HaMikdash, if you recall. This is the Haftarah of which Parsha, by the way? Haftarah Parsha Shmini, thank you. And in this, is that what you said? I hope so. Vayik Yashar HaMelech V'Veisov, Hashem Indiach V'Misovid, V'Kol Oivav. Vayom HaMelech Adas HaMelech, V'Reinu HaMelech Yoshi V'Veisov HaRozim, V'Aron HaLokim Yoshi V'Sok HaRiyah. Dabba was troubled by the fact that what? That he's living in a very palatial kind of setting, and yet, the Aron HaLokim is wandering, V'Sok HaRiyah, the very temporary kind of makeshift ramshackle structure. Radaki points out that here Nassim is not acting as a Navi. He's telling David, carry out as you wish, whatever you feel you would like to do, go ahead and do. And now Hashem comes to Nassim and tells him, David thinks he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's not the case. He's not going to build a Beis HaMikdash. Rashi has a beautiful comment here. Rashi quotes from the Chazal, David HaMelech was so preoccupied, and so, as I said, to him, in his mind, the most significant element that he had to take care of was building the Beis HaMikdash. And now that you know Tehillim, Kufam Beis, David HaMelech took a Shvua, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to rest, till what? Till I build the Beis HaMikdash. Kesedi, you see it about Tanakh, till in Kufam Beis. But anyway, Rashi, he quotes from a fascinating Chazal. Hashem said to Nasan HaNavi, that this person that I'm sending you to, I know him. Namely, he is very energetic. And maybe already he's going to hire a kaplan and get to work to build a Beis HaMikdash. And there's going to be a hesed moment because he's not going to do it. We have to stop him in his tracks. So even though David HaMelech initially, with his dialogue with Nassim, it was of a private nature, Nassim was not yet operating as a Navi. He was operating as a private citizen. He told David, do as you wish, in Pasuk Gimel. Now Hashem comes to him and tells Nassim, let me amart alav yel David, come Hashem. And I want to read just a few more psukim. Hashem himself, what does he indicate? He's been wandering. Hashem has been wandering, so to speak. Hashem says to David, all your enemies were completely smitten. Now settled. David HaMelech, unquestionably, in the course of his malchus, he was able to establish, literally, Klal Yisrael on, shall we say, sure footing. The minute I am sure who is that? Who's going to build the house? Hashem says, who? Who refers to? Shlomo. Not you, David. The Chonanti is Kisim Amlach Rad Olam. Ani Eyo Lada'ab, Uyeli the Ben, Sinu Lashem, we just saw in Divya Yavim, if you were looking at the Pesukim carefully. I read it too quickly, probably. Asher ba'avosa ba'ochachti b'shem ha'adoshi v'nigin le'yodom v'chaz l'yosu v'menu v'abim v'tem k'asher yosu yosu v'imshol asher yosu v'panecha v'nema b'ischa m'amachtecha ala olam v'panecha k'isachu yenoch en alul k'al adorim ha'elam k'al ha'chizor hazeh k'indibra nosin ol David. So here again you see the same idea that Shlomo is going to be the one who replaced David HaMelech. He's also going to build a Beis HaMikdash, and we have both Divrei Yamin and both the Shmuel Beis Perzai. But as I said, we have to be concerned about one thing, and that is those who are acting behind the scenes, and that's the issue we're about to now discover in Melachim Al Perek Aleph. Yeah.
What is
Bnei Avla, of course, refers to individuals who are troublemakers.
That means eternally, like, staying forever, there's not going to be anyone.
As long as you are, shall we say, carrying out the Dvar Hashem, that is correct. They're not going to trouble you. You will not have any opposition as long as you carry out the Dvar Hashem. It's a simple pshat. Yeah.
So, I mean, doesn't David builds the digs the foundation and makes the Mikdash like the next paragraph?
He basically did everything.
No, so I'm just wondering. So why does it mention he built the foundation like? Towards the end of the Shmuel Beis, like 15 parakim later, it says he first bought the pot of land.
Which pasuk are you referring to specifically?
So towards the end, where it's like the...
Okay, you have to show me the pasuk inside. I believe you. I just have to see the pasuk in order to know how to resolve the issue that you're raising. But I'm simply trying to point out that it's clear that David decided that Shlomo is going to be the one who will replace him, even though Adoniel certainly felt that he was very much a legal and proper successor to the throne, based on, as I said, on the chronology of the children of David HaMelech. Okay, now I'm back to this particular chapter, which I want to read a bit more carefully. The truth is, I can read also some other psukim, but I'm not sure I'm going to, because I want to just try to move a little bit. Okay, so now we have the beginning of Melachim Al Perek Aleph. These are the something I want to read shortly. Now let's read the psukim. V'amel of David zokein v'ava yomim v'yichasu v'abgodim lo yicham lo v'yomu lo avodav yivakshu v'adoni amelach naro v'sulo v'yomdu te amelach v'sivo sochenes v'shochavo v'chikecha v'cham v'adoni amelach. As Rashi comments, sochenes refers to mechamemes, because the pasuk tells us a moment later that she had no relationship with the king, no sexual relationship. And this Abishag, she's described as someone who is very attractive. What did she serve the king in what capacity? As a mechamemes, as someone who warmed him. That means she was a basula. I'm not discussing the whole issue of what Chazal talked about, what her status was. This is the whole discussion in Gemara Sanhedrin, and you'll get to it in the discussion of the second parak. Because how many wives is the king allowed to have?
18.
Up to 18. What was her status? That's the question. Was she a Pilegesh? The Navi describes her as a Mechamemes. V'amelech lo yudo. I mean, we say, in Kabbalah we say, lo yaber lo yoser, 18 women. And he already had 18. Yosiv l'chakayin v'chayina. Correct? So what exactly is her role? Okay, I'm not discussing that right now, but the Navi indicates v'amelech lo yudo. But now we get to the main
point. Was that like making up for what he did like beforehand? Like, was that his, like,
the reason why I'm out below your dog because you already had 18 wives.
No, but I'm saying, wait,
we go beyond this
cold because
this is like a test for him from like to make up for what he did with Bathsheba.
Okay, I prefer not to examine that matter right now, but you're already theorizing theories that are very extended, and it needs again. I'm not sure what the basis of your statement is.
I'm asking. I'm not asking it based on anything. I'm asking.
Okay. The simple shot is what the pasuk said, that somehow the king was suffering. We don't exactly know what the nature of his illness was. The way the Chazal comment. Okay, that's what many want to say. It's a medrash agoda that nistani domo miyiroso. Somehow there was a kind of histonomous. We don't exactly know what it is. You call it hypothermia. I don't think we can know from the text exactly. We shouldn't talk about it, but I'm not so concerned about that right now. I'm more concerned about Adoniel ben Chagis. That's what I'm interested in looking to. Pasuk Kev. Adoniel ben Chagis nisnasei lemor aniyem loch. The word mitnasei is a very critical word here. What does it mean, mitnasei? Can you translate that word? No, well, just a little translation. No. The word mitnasei.
I shall reign. It
comes from nisa. What does nisa mean?
Carry.
Exalted. Correct? Let's be up. Anymore. Rashi says, mitpaer. Yes, in fact, there's an element of gaiva. Somehow you assume, I'm here, look. What do you want? What do you have to do if you want to, shall we say, be a candidate to be the king? You simply hire, shall we say, a
horse and buggy.
Correct, not just a bit more than a horse and buggy. Rechel Parashim, you have 50 ish rats in the front of people running in front of you. And then we have a famous pasuk which you should be aware of as well. Avshalom are both very similar, a lot of similarities between them. And one of the issues that Chazal take David HaMelech to task, namely, what did David HaMelech not do? In both cases, never gave them tochacha. Tochacha means he never rebuked them, they were never chastised, they were never given apparently proper chinuch. And a child is not given proper chinuch, so that could lead to terrible consequences. And furthermore, just as Avshalom was described as an ishyafeh, they also described as an ishyafeh. Vayu dvarav, and now again, the note goes on to indicate, just like people, maybe I would use the following example. You send out invitations. Why is he sending out invitations? There's about to be a coronation, and he's going to be coronated. And of course, his invitations were sent out very selectively. Only certain individuals were invited to participate in this coronation. And so that's what the Navi goes on to say. Yoav ben Tzruya, whom does he invite? Yoav. Yoav is a personality we're going to discuss with Yitzhak Hashem in some detail. But I would call him essentially someone who is a brilliant strategist, brilliant someone who is an incredible general, but also at the same time someone who is full of intrigue and someone who is misukan, very misukan. So right away he comes into the picture. You'll see Yasser HaKohen is really called a Bachur Tami. He's a very tzmimistic fellow, I'll show it to you as well. And he also joins Vayazu Achrei Adoniyo. And now we continue. Mitzarek HaKohen, Unoyob, and Yoyoda, Vinasan HaLovi, Vishimi Rivei, Vahibar, and Hashem Ladovi, obviously didn't receive any invitation. Those people who were on David HaMelech saw clearly not going to be invited to this affair. Lo Hoyu Madoniyo. And now we continue. Vayizbach Adoniyo, so the Bokur Marie, Imeven Azachel, Sashaitzel, Ingo Gael. Vayiku as Kalacha ben Amelach, Ranchi is at the Amelach. Yes, Nasan and Novi, Nayom is a Gibor, Shlomo Achi, Lokara. Obviously, he's not calling Shlomo Amelach to this, shall we say, to this party. And now, the Novi obviously hears about what's about to happen. There's a word in Hebrew, actually, they call this in modern Hebrew today, Mechtaf. What does Mechtaf mean? When you try to grab power, and you try to usurp a position for yourself in a Mechtaf. So what does he do? What? A coup. A coup, exactly. A coup or a kind of putsch. But in order for this coup and this putsch, shall we say, should come to fruition, has to be done with a lot of chokmah. So what does he do? Adonio, he gathers the right people, hopefully, some strong men and others who will be able to support his coup and his putsch. And now we come to the picture of Nasan HaNavi, who begins to realize what is happening here. By the way, look at the language. Halo Shamat Ki Malach. What does that mean? He already took power. He essentially ascended to the throne, and you hire enough newspaper men who can announce it, and who can herald it, and proclaim it, and basically, you tell enough people, often enough people will believe.
Does that make it official?
I'm sorry?
Does that make it official?
It makes it official, the eyes of many. But obviously, it doesn't make it official, since, of course, the one who has to give the ultimate approval is David HaMelech. Since Malchus is the Yerusha, and we have to see exactly whom the right heir is, whom the right Yorish is. David HaMelech decided the right heir is not the three sons that I mentioned earlier, but rather Dafka Shlomo. So he tells Bathsheba what? Who? Well, it says he had the Hamishim Ishrots in the front.
A little one.
A small, shall we say, a small vanguard, a small group. And so Nasa, by the way, realizes what's happening over here. He tells Bathsheba, Halo Shamaki, Malach Adonio, Machagis, Baden, Dabalo Yoda, Viato, Lachi, Yotzev, Naitzo, Mati, Isnashem, Isnashem, Shlomo. You saw right away here the handwriting. And the handwriting, of course, could be disastrous. Could be Achmon with Slan, absolutely horrific. And therefore, he enters the picture. The Chiyubari Amalav David tells him, go run to Melech King David. Yamar Elav, you tell him, Alav Ato Adoni Amalav, Nishbat Al Amas Kol Aymar. You promised, you swore, Kishlomo Benef, Nimlo Chacharai. Vu Yoshiv Al Kisi, Madu Amalav Adoni Yom, what's going on over here? You better tell the king quickly what's happening. There's a coup taking place right in front of you. Right in front of your face. Hinei Adoch Medaver Shom Amalav, Vani Avo Acharayich, Vedeis Yizvarayich. So right away, Batova Vashem Al Melech Achadro, Al Melech Zoki Miyod, tells you what's happening. She enters the inner throne, as it were. She sees Avishag Ashunamis. She says, that's what you swore, you promised. He's making an entire ceremony. But she realizes that there's going to have to be, shall we say, in order to quell this putsch, this coup, what will have to be done? Action will have to be taken. Action immediatamente, of an immediate nature, correct? And of a very powerful nature. Because otherwise this rebellion can clearly grow and mushroom and burgeon, and it will be very difficult. While she's speaking to the king, he also appears. It's like a 1-2 punch. First we have Bathsheba, and then that's followed by the Navi. By Nasan HaNavi confirms and supports her position. And again, repeating what was said earlier, Ki Yarat Hayom Vayizbach Shom Riyot Tzom Naro Vayikol Lechobanei HaMelech L'Sami Yavyat Atzava. He called all the, generally speaking, when you want to take over a country, whom do you call? The army. Exactly what happened over here. Right away, you get the army involved, and on your side, once you have that, if you remember what happened with Egypt with Mubarak, Mubarak was 30 years in power, and the moment the army somehow was, shall we say, moved in a different direction to a different group, that was the end of Mubarak. And here also, just get the army in place, and that's what he did at WO. He knew exactly which buttons to press, and whom to call upon, and whom to invite. There only was a coronation. It's really uncanny, almost the identical argument that Bathsheba presented, of course, the Navi presents as well, and it's clear that the issue is one that is going to require, shall we say, very, very swift action of a strong nature. Otherwise, it could easily, as I said, mushroom and burgeon, and then Shlomo HaMelech will be up the creek without a paddle. Vayana HaMelech David, Vayomer Kirli the Bathsheba. Without any delay, without any interruption, this is an immediate reaction on the part of David HaMelech, to what has to be done. Batiko Bashem Abai Moritz, Batishtak Abhav, Vayom Rechiyad Nei Amelach Dabu Yoma, Vayom Amelach Dabu Kirli Tzadok Akkoyim Nosan Dabu Yoma Yoyodah, Vayom Amelach. Right away he called Tzadok and Nosan and Benayo. Rather Benayo, as you know, is whom? Correct? He is essentially, what role is he playing?
The head executioner?
Yeah, the Chazal, you're referring to that Gemaras. But whom is Benayo Ben Yoyada?
He was a major officer.
Correct, the major general, unquestionably, he's also an army man. What's he going to do now? We better quickly have our own coronation. By the way, that's what they used to have. Usually they would coronate kings. Tzadok HaKoyim, Nasan HaNavi, the Melech Al Yisrael, Uskatim HaShom, V'amartem, Yechiyah Melech Shlomo. Just as they said with Adonio, we better have a similar, parallel kind of ceremony with Shlomo. V'adisim HaKabav, V'bava Yashal HaKisi, V'uyum Lach Tachtoi, V'olsi Yitzi V'isi L'yel Snogit, Al Yisrael V'Yehuda, V'yam Ben Ayom, and Yodis Melech, V'yom Ben, Ken Yom HaShem, Al-Ki Adoni HaMelech. Kashor Yashem Adoni HaMelech, just the way Hashem was with David, Ken Yehem Shlomo, V'yigadel Tisov, V'kisi Adoni HaMelech David. V'yir Tzom HaKagoyim, V'nas HaNavi, Yom HaYodah, V'akresi, V'aplesi, these are all Chazal, as we are referring to the Yehuda. V'yakibu Shlomo, Al Pirdat HaMelech David, V'yalichu Oso Al Gichon, again, that's the area where you have the coronation is going to take place. V'yigab Tzom HaKagoyim, V'yizkeren Hashem, V'yil, V'yim Shach Shlomo, he was anointed, V'yizku Bashom, V'yom, V'kolom, there's obviously tremendous joy and a tremendously large procession. There's an incredible, I would say even unbelievable and incredible, means the ability to somehow rouse the people and literally somehow support Shlomo HaMelech was unbelievable. But this had their meal, the coronation meal, correct? What's going on here? They're hearing, shall we say, other noises that are not too pleasant, that are not dulcet in their ears. Guess what happened? Our, shall we say, competitor is now in business. They're reporting what happened with Shlomo. The voice you heard is the resounding voice of the people behind Shlomo HaMelech. The Gam Yasha Shlomo Kisei Melucha, he sat on the king's throne. The Gam Bo Abdi HaMelech Baruch Es Adonai HaMelech Dov HaLemor, they knew exactly what happened, everything. Of course, David HaMelech was obviously overjoyed that, shall we say, that Shlomo was now the successor. And what happened? So one would think that perhaps this would, shall we say, precipitate what? Some sort of a doubt or battle or war? No. Because as the Navi gives the impression, clearly the resounding majority of the people were with whom? The Shlomo HaMelech. And Avdino HaTag has realized at this point that he doesn't have sufficient support to maintain the coronation, to maintain the position they wanted to usurp. Guess what happened to all of his, shall we say, newly found supporters? All of a sudden they disappeared from the scene. They split. They fled. And they sort of, if you will, slunk away from Adonio. And he was left with, shall we say,
himself.
And now the Navi describes Adonio, Yorev Neshlomo, suddenly becomes frightened. Mayokum Mayelech. I assume you're familiar with this Mahalach. What is the Mahalach of Ayachsek, the Kamis HaMizbeach? What is that supposed to do? That somehow that's going to be a
like a...
You couldn't kill him.
Oh, refuge, you can't kill him?
It's like a base and tag.
It's like a neutral zone.
Yeah. Now, safe zone, excellent. We'll talk about it maybe separately. As a safe zone, a neutral zone, you can't be touched. Now, you got a shlomo, he didn't have to be yomis, and now a shlomo, and then the guys are back. Anyway, you show me the way, and shlomo, in yomis, it's out of the mechara. Is he wanted to make sure shlomo would kill him? By yomis shlomo, in yil, ben chayo. So what does shlomo say? Which is remarkable. One would have thought that Shlomo, what should he have said?
Off
with your head. That would have been the correct, the immediate, shall we say, almost instinctive response. This is a fellow who tried to undo his malchus. Albeit he was a brother. But he tried to undo his malchus. And what do you do with such individuals? They are beheaded.
Separate.
They are guillotined. That's not what Shlomo does. What does he do? If you join forces with me, and become a Ben Chayil, a soldier in my army, lo yipol misarasa aratzah, you won't be touched. Yimrati matzivah v'meis. If you decide to follow a different path, then you will die. You know, basically, Shlomo is very forgiving. That's the understatement of the year. Vayishlach ha'melach Shlomo, vayavidu me'al v'zbeach, vayavo, vayishtachu ha'melach Shlomo, vayavo v'shlomo, leich v'meisach. Now, it's really incredible. And what I just simply felt the need to stress very strongly, because I'm going to get to this now a bit further. Oh, I'm going to discuss this a bit further. Notice, as I said, how David responded and reacted in a very swift and a very strong and a very clear and decisive kind of fashion. That is something that is critical, especially when you are involved with a upstart who's trying to undermine, and who could easily undermine. Trust me, whenever you have what's called chilufei shelton, whenever you have a change of government, or as I said, it applies across the board, really even the smallest positions, it's an amazing thing how this could literally, completely and totally undermine everything. And that's why David felt the need to react and respond, and he did so in a very clear and decisive kind of way. Now, I want to mention that this notion, which is really, as you know, Melech, a Malchus, is based on Yerusha. Maybe just mention, I didn't realize what time it was as usual. If you look in Dvarim, just for one moment again, we spoke about this parasha, Perek Yudayim, the Vashta Melech, there it tells you clearly what the Hatzlach of the Melech is based on. The Torah is very clear about it. When the Torah speaks about the Hatzlach of the Melech, there's only one Hatzlach, if you will. And that's based on a Melech who was coupled to Malchus Shamayim. Take a look at the Pasha of Melech in Berek Yitzayim. Just a few psukim, we'll read again. Kisavo, Pasuk Yudalva, I'm sorry. Kisavo el ha'aret asher Hashem ovecha nosim lov yivishtev yashav tabo yamart asim alai Melech b'chol agayim asher asir yosrei. So, tosim alach ha'melech asher yivchar Hashem alokecha bo. Hashem has to be involved in the choice of the Melech. By the way, if I were to ask you, why was Shlomo chosen? I assume you know that Shlomo also received whose approval? How do you see that? And where do you see that? The Pasuk in Tanakh. Where's the Pasuk in Tanakh? It indicates that Shlomo was the one who received the approval of the Navi. Okay, you're going to show me the Pasuk. I'm going to discuss that Pasuk actually. We never, but I'll just get back to this in a second. What?
That's not said the Dada.
Correct, you said it very clearly. The Shlomo has the approval of Hashem is Barach. That's what the Parshat Shoftim here mentions as well. Asher Yidcha Hashem Elokecha Bo Mikerav Achecha Tasim Alach Amelach Losuch Al Asis Alach Ishnach Yashem Alach Hichu. That's the Mishnah in Saita with Agrippus. Rak, this is what I discussed last week. Lo Yabal Asusim Lo Lo Yashem Esau Mitzvayim Lo Man Abel Asus Hashem Al Malachem Lo Asusim Lo Shim Adarach Azeo Lo Yabal Lo Noshim Lo Yasu Lo Baba Bechesim Zav Lo Yabal Lo. We discussed this last week, if you remember. The obligation to write a Sefer Torah. Because why is the Sefer Torah malav in the Melech? The man yilmad the yiras Hashem alokav. That's the key. Mishmor is called the Torah Azos. Says Hashem Eilu Lasos Sam. The Melech has to be coupled to Malchus Shemayim. The build the room of Melech Neechav. The Ramban writes it should be Gaiva. The build the Suv and Amitzu Yom and Smol. Papi Shmaya. The man Yarech Yom Pam Amachto. Who Uvana Bekerav Yisrael. It's not just he, but it's he and his children, because all Malchus goes out via Yerusha. Okay, so now what we want to discuss is now, I guess I'm not going to do it tonight. I wanted to, but I will do it next time. Please, there. I want to discuss this next chapter here in Melachim Baal Perikis. And I'm going to compare it actually to, again, maybe to some recent events here in this country. Because this is the Tzavo of David HaMelech, a very famous Tzavo. And it's a fascinating Tzavo, how he deals with different personalities and how he tells Shlomo what to do with X and with Y. And this is a very critical Tzavo because it's really giving directives to a future king how to run the show and how to direct traffic. Okay, please know that I shall continue. And then you will see my analogy to recent events on the verse, specifically Gilad Shalit, that I somehow cannot control myself to present my position on the last.